The next great speaker we have, presenter, is Frances Boyle. And let me just tell you a little bit about Frances. Frances Boyle is a University of Illinois College of Law professor and the author of the United States Implementing Legislation for the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention, known as the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. That was passed unanimously by both houses of the United States Congress and signed into law by President George Bush Sr. with the approval of the United States Department of Justice. The story is told in his book, BioWare Warfare. The book is named BioWarfare and Terrorism. It's Clarity Press, 2005. So I want to introduce Frances Boyle here. And you know, I first heard Frances right at the beginning of this pandemic. He was on, we didn't know each other at the time, but I'm watching this guy. He's talking about Wuhan. He's talking about bioweapons. I'm saying, let me listen to him. I was really impressed. And then I went back to try to watch it again, and it was taken down by YouTube, I believe. Okay. So he was censored right from the beginning, but he seemed to be right on point, as we say. So Frances, thank you very much for being here, and please, teach us. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on, David. My best to your viewing audience. And I did want to express my sincere condolences to the family, next of kin, and friends of those who suffered and died 20 years ago today. And that's why I'm being here today, to try to point a direction where we can go from here. You all heard President Biden's horrendous diktat to the American people that we must take these Franken-shots. And I did work against genetically modified organism food. They were called Franken-foods. I will call these things Franken-shots because they're not dignified with the word vaccines. And I'm here today to explain, well, you know, how can we fight back against a medical dictatorship that is currently being imposed upon us by Biden and his people. And here I want to refer to, and here I'm just talking about the Americans. I've consulted in Israel and other cases, but here I'm just talking about us Americans. And the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution clearly says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That's us. And what I want to outline here today is the mechanism and means whereby we can get everyone involved in the COVID-19 pandemic prosecuted for murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And then second, everyone involved in these Franken-shots can be prosecuted for murder and conspiracy to commit murder on a state and local basis all over this country. Now, we know then the whole federal government is in the tank there for Biden. You can't believe anything they are telling you. It's just been a passel of lies from the get-go, even under Trump. But we do have here in the United States, states' attorneys, district attorneys, attorney generals, county prosecutors. Last time I looked into this, there were over 400 of them. And I am recommending here today a strategy for the common, ordinary, everyday citizens who live in their territorial jurisdiction to go into these prosecutors and demand the prosecution of the people involved. And I'm going to explain how this happens in a minute. But these local prosecutors, not the federal prosecutors, Biden's made it clear he's working with Fauci against us. So, and he controls the Department of Justice under Garland. They're not going to help us. But these local prosecutors, they are elected by us. Their salaries are paid by us, and they can be diselected by us. It's that simple. And so we need to get people organized and go in and demand these indictments and prosecutions. For what? Well, let me start with the pandemic itself. And here we have the very famous article that I have lectured on before. You can do Google, it might still be up there. SARS-like cluster of circulating bat coronavirus pose threat for human emergence. And it's clear if you read this article that COVID-19 is an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain of function properties. It also, according to Montagnier and the Indian scientists, has DNA, HIV DNA genetically engineered into it. It has also been aerosolized by means of nanotechnology. The Wuhan BSL-4 bragged that they had been able to apply nanotechnology to viruses. So my argument here then is that everyone involved in this contract can be prosecuted for murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Why? I was originally hired here to teach criminal law to law students, future lawyers, and I taught it for 7 or 8 years before I moved over into international human rights law. But I still do criminal cases, both for the defense and the prosecution on matters of principle. All right, murder has a definition at Anglo-American common law that would apply to all states of the union, except, as you know, Louisiana, that has a civil law system. I haven't studied their civil law system, but every other state in the union has a common law definition of murder. What is murder? It's the unlawful killing of human beings with malice aforethought. All right, let's go through the elements with respect to the pandemic. Unlawful. Okay, everyone involved in this project at the UNC BSL-3 manufacturing COVID were acting in violation of my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 that was passed unanimously by both houses of the United States Congress and signed into law by President George Bush Sr. with the approval of the Department of Justice. So who was involved? Menachery, University of North Carolina. There were others involved here from the University of North Carolina. Ralph Barrick was involved as well. The National Center for Toxicological Research, Food and Drug Administration. They mentioned this fellow's name. Think about that for a second. The Food and Drug Administration was involved in the development of an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain of function properties that using synthetic biology, and we will see working with Fort Detrick and the Chinese bat queen at the Wuhan BSL-4, which was also China's first Fort Detrick. That's why you can't believe anything the FDA is telling you about the safety of any of these drugs. Indeed, the FDA is up to their eyeballs in offensive biological warfare, Nazi death science. It's that simple. And we'll continue with there. Two foreign institutes, fine. I'm not going to get into those right here. The Department of Cancer, Immunology and AIDS, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, Department of Medicine, Harvard Medical School. Harvard Medical School. I'm a triple alum of Harvard. And notice Harvard Medical School is involved in developing an offensive biological warfare weapon with gain of function that has HIV DNA genetically engineered right into it and working with Fort Detrick. That's also clear from this article. Imagine that, Harvard working with Fort Detrick. As a matter of fact, Harvard is also a sponsoring institution for the Wuhan BSL-4, which is China's Fort Detrick, okay? And the chair of the Harvard chemistry department, Lieber, worked on applying nanotechnology with Fort Detrick. And Lieber was also over at the at Wuhan, working with Chinese scientists on applying nanotechnology to biology and also chemistry. And I told you the Wuhan BSL-4 bragged that they had applied nanotechnology to viruses. Why do you apply nanotechnology? To aerosolize. That's why. For aerial delivery to human beings. So we breathe it in. reports are that from a scientist at MIT, COVID-19 can travel up to 28 feet in that lab, Cornell 21 feet. And that's thanks to nanotechnology. The next person on this contract, the Bat Queen, Zhengli Li Shi, the Chinese Bat Queen, and the director there, one of the founders of the Chinese Fort Detrick, is over there working in the University of North Carolina to develop COVID-19. And then, of course, Fort Detrick is acknowledged. They were involved in that, too, working with the Chinese Bat Queen and everyone else there. In addition, then, if you read to the end of this article, it is funded by the National Institute of Health under Francis Collins. He knew all about it. You can't believe anything Collins is telling you. He's lying. And also the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Disease. That's Tony Fauci. So, of course, you can't believe anything he's telling you either. And by the way, the Harvard Medical School, Biden hired this Dr. Walensky, head of CDC, from the Harvard Medical School. So, of course, you can't believe anything she's telling you. And CDC has been up to its eyeballs in offensive biological warfare, Nazi death science, dirty work, since the beginning of the Reagan administration, when Reagan and his neocons put Tony Fauci into charge of research, develop, testing, and using DNA genetic engineering and now synthetic biology to manufacture every type of hideous biological warfare weapon you can possibly imagine, as well as COVID-19. So all these people should be indicted for murder and conspiracy to commit murder. Now, what's the next stage? Killing human beings. The estimate is excess deaths here in the United States is about 1 million people. As for the dangers of SARS-CoV-2, I have a book here by Professor Zubai and his graduate students at Columbia Biology Department that was written in 2005, long before the current controversy arose. And on page 188, Professor Zubai says, quote, "The overall death rate of SARS patients is 14 to 15%, unquote. So this is very dangerous. Now we come to the final element, malice aforethought. Malice aforethought is a term of art. I have to lecture my law students for four days or so going through all the different elements of malice aforethought. But here, critical element of malice aforethought is acting with grave indifference to human rights. That is an element of malice aforethought. So you can have malice aforethought with people acting with grave indifference in human rights. And if you read the article here, SARS-like clusters circulating back rooms, they admit that they were acting with grave indifference to human life. They knew how dangerous this was, and they went about it anyway. All that has now been documented from the public record. I've been saying this right from the get-go. So we have all the elements there for murder by everyone I mentioned here. And so I advise all of you listening to go out and get your local prosecutor. And don't send the emails. You know, lawyers don't really respond to emails. They respond to, you know, face to face and say, I want you to convene a grand jury. I want you to present this evidence to the grand jury. I want you to try to get the return of indictment for murder against Menachery, Barrick, the Bat Queen, Francis Collins, the Harvard Medical School person, Tony Fauci, the rest of them, and conspiracy to commit murder. I believe the evidence is there, and we could get out of the 400 or more local prosecutors, I think we could get one of them at least to get indictment for murder and conspiracy to commit murder for everyone involved here on this contract for the development and research and manufacture of this offensive biological warfare weapon known as COVID-19. Now let me move to the Frankenshots, and that there's only no other word for them. I'm not going to dignify them with vaccines or alleged vaccines. Just like Frankenfoods are the foods, Frankenshots are the shots. And I want to make it clear I'm not part of any anti-vax movement. I go vax by vax, so that that's the issue. But here on the Frankenshots, again. The Frankenshots, let me go through the elements there as well. The unlawful killing of human beings with malice aforethought. Unlawful killing, okay. Clear-cut, blatant violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation. That is a Nuremberg crime under international law for which we, the United States, prosecuted, convicted, and executed some Nazi doctors. Right. That's exactly right. In addition, the Frankenshots violate the Nuremberg crime against humanity. We set up, this was President Franklin Roosevelt's idea to set up the Nuremberg tribunal. Okay. It was our idea. And in the charter, setting up the Nuremberg charter, three crimes: war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace. Let me quote for you crimes against humanity. Quote, this is from the Nuremberg Charter that we signed. It was President Roosevelt's idea. Quote, crimes against humanity, namely murder, extermination, and other inhumane acts committed against any civilian population. This was put in there for the express purpose of prosecuting the Nazi persecution of the German Jews, their own citizens. And that is exactly what Biden and his hench people are doing to us today. Okay. And this Nuremberg crime against humanity is in the charter. It is the Nuremberg judgment of 1946. It is in the Nuremberg principles of 1950. They are generally recognized as basic customary international criminal law all over the world. Okay, so we have unlawful killing, as I said, excess deaths, I believe, is about a million, with malice aforethought. So now we come to the element of malice aforethought for the Frankenshots. And here, two other elements of malice aforethought: intention to kill, or intention to cause grievous bodily harm. So the people responsible for the Frankenshots will say, well, we never intended to kill anyone. Okay, maybe they didn't, but they certainly intended to cause grievous bodily harm on human beings. That has been documented right from the very get-go of the administration of the Frankenshots. You know, people are dying soon after. I don't know the exact figures. You can look at the VAERS statistics and multiply by 100. You can look at the European Health Agency. And those who do not die are subjected to serious life-threatening, lifelong disabilities. So in my opinion, yes, we have malice aforethought, intention to cause grievous bodily harm for the Frankenshots. So what I would also recommend then is a second cause of action here, to go for people all over the country, to go into their local prosecutors, state's attorneys, district attorneys, county prosecutors, attorney generals, and say, also, I've lost loved ones here in your jurisdiction to the Frankenshots, or I've lost friends. I have autopsy reports. I have coroner reports saying this. And I want you to convene a grand jury and return an indictment for murder and conspiracy to commit murder against the people primarily behind these Frankenshots. And that would be Slowey, the director of Operation Warp Speed, you know, beam me up, Scotty, and the chief executive officers and scientists at, I would say, Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Those are the Frankenshots being used here in the United States, okay? And we want you to return an indictment against these people from this grand jury. It could be the same grand jury as going after the people responsible for the pandemic, for a second set of indictments here for murder and conspiracy to commit murder. I think the legal theory is sound, but we basically need the American people to get organized and go out and do this. Finally, as you know, President Biden has ordered all U.S. military personnel to take these Frankenshots. So I, in my concluding words here, I know I'm sort of running out of time. I am a lawyer. I try to deal with my allotted time. The military, as you know, have been ordered to take these Frankenshots. I helped defend Captain Dr. Yolanda Hewitt Vaughn, who refused to give the Frankenshots for Gulf War I that resulted in the Gulf War sickness. Out of 500,000 troops inoculated, the Pentagon lies about the figures because they know they committed a Nuremberg crime on their own troops. But out of 500,000 inoculated, 11,000 died, and about 100,000 were disabled. And those, I suspect, are underestimates. That's the Gulf War sickness. And that was inflicted upon our fairly healthy men and women in our armed forces. You can extrapolate from there what is going to happen to the general population with these Frankenshots, were far more dangerous than the Gulf War I Frankenshots. Likewise, the Gulf War I Frankenshots, they infected healthcare workers who were treating them, indicating the biological warfare weapon was at work, and also family members, indicating a biological warfare weapon was at work. I suspect we were going to see this breaking out all over the next 2 years. So my advice to members of armed forces is that if you are given an order, whether orally or in writing, to take the Frankenshots, be respectful, because they'll get you for contempt of a superior officer. Don't lose your cool and say, sir, I respectfully decline to take these Frankenshots. This is an illegal order in violation of the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation, that is a Nuremberg crime under international law. And it is an illegal order also under the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment, and Principles that the United States government was responsible for at Nuremberg. And, you know, we prosecuted, convicted, and executed Nazis for this body of law. And so, you know, sir, I respectfully decline to take these Frankenshots. Now, if my advice to the military at this point is, with all due respect to JAG officers, I work them, they're fine. But JAG officers can only do so much for you, JAG lawyers. They are in the chain of command. You are going to have to go out and get civilian attorneys who can exercise and assert your rights under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Now, you have very substantial rights under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and it is a well-known principle of military law that you have no obligation to obey an illegal order. I established that in the court-martial of the very first resistor to Gulf War I, U.S. Marine Corps Corporal Jeff Patterson, who refused to ship out to Saudi Arabia when ordered to by President Bush Sr., saying that this was just another U.S. imperialist oil war for oil, which of course it was. He was charged with failure to obey a lawful order. I went out to Kanahoe Bay for a preliminary court-martial proceeding. I was out there 3.5 hours arguing this order was illegal, not authorized by law. And the judge took it under advisement. And 10 days later, Patterson was out of the Marine Corps. They did not want to go to trial with this posture of the case. How I did that is explained in my book, Protesting Power, War, Resistance, and Law, Rahman and Littlefield Press. So my advice would be get copies of that book, line up your civilian defense lawyers. All military bases have around them former retired JAG lawyers, JAG judges, or civilian lawyers who specialize in the UCMJ. It's very complicated to do. You can't really do it on your own. So get yourself civilian defense counsel. But what you can do on your own in the military personnel today I'm speaking to is say, sir, I respectfully decline to carry out your illegal order that I take this Frankenshot in violation of the Nuremberg Code on Medical Experimentation and in violation of the Nuremberg Charter, Judgment, and Principles. Thank you very much, David. I think I did just on time. Thank you.
You did.